there's parts of me that I feel are here now that over the years, they just got buried. And self-love has been one of those journeys to help me reconcile who I've always been, who I'm becoming, and the depth of the person that I really, truly am.
Patrice Washington, and this is the Redefining Wealth Podcast, where authenticity leads to alignment and abundance. Join us each week as we peel back the layers on what wealth truly means and dive into conversations that inspire, connect, and empower you to live your richest life. Get ready to challenge the status quo. It's time to redefine wealth for yourself. You're listening to the Redefining Wealth Podcast with Patrice Washington. Remember, this is not another space where we just come and talk about money and material possessions, because I don't believe that's the true definition of wealth. I know it's not. The original 12th century definition of wealth is the condition of well-being and happiness. And this month on the podcast, we are talking about being free and how being set free is such a powerful part of how we can actually move our purpose forward in the world. You already know, I did an episode a few weeks ago. Many of us think we're free. We have the illusion of freedom, and we are actually very much stuck on autopilot, like living Groundhog's Day, doing the same thing day in and day out. And if we're truly going to have the wealth we desire, that has got to stop. So if you're not already in the Redefining Wealth app, I want you to stop. I want you to go to redefiningwealth.app or download it on your Android or iOS and get this month's guide. The guide, Set Free, Unchain Your Fears, and Walk in Faith, is going to support you in asking yourself better questions so that you can make sure that you have not created a pretty prison that keeps you stuck and keeps you further away from the life that you say you want. So I wanted to invite this young lady, Myesha Chaney, to the podcast because I had an opportunity to watch her share her divorce story. And I just thought it was so important to share with you more stories of what it looks like to be free. And on the other side, I realize we don't want to sit down and ask ourselves the tough questions and have powerful conversation, because then it will force us to do something that makes us uncomfortable. And Myesha's journey is similar, but very different than my own. And her experience in getting to the other side, which she's still working through, has been different than my own. So I was so excited to share a different perspective. And I think this conversation was so good, I actually asked her to stay on longer so we can make it two parts. So this is part one of my conversation with the Myesha Chaney. Myesha Chaney embodies personal growth and transformation through and through. Her life story is evident that even when life's tides crash against us, we can choose to harness these experiences, transform pain into power, sorrow into strength, and adversity into opportunity. She is so authentic, so real, very polished, but also she'll get with you. And I love that. So without further ado, when we get through the affirmation of the week, the next thing you'll hear is my conversation with Myesha Chaney. This week's affirmation is, I can dream a new dream. I understand that oftentimes my dreams are for a reason and a season. I embrace when a season is up and move forward with lessons and blessings uncovered during that time, because they've made me who I am and are equipping me for who I am becoming. It is okay to leave behind a dream that no longer feels in alignment with my soul's assignment. It is okay to detach from what no longer serves the highest and best use of my light. God is infinite and the universe is abundant, and there are many ways outside of what I currently know that can allow me to accomplish what I've been called to do on this earth. And I'm willing to find that endless potential by taking the next best step. Declare with me today, I can dream a new dream. Welcome to the Redefining Wealth Podcast, Myesha.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
I am so happy to finally have you on the podcast, because I have to tell you, you know this already, we have a friend in common who said to me probably a year ago, I have a friend and client you need to meet, and told me your name. And I was not familiar. You know, I don't watch TV that much. I had not heard anything. I live in Atlanta now, not on the West Coast. And so I was like, oh, okay. He's like, you guys should really meet. I think you will really hit it off. I'm like, okay. And then he never made the introduction. But then I'm sitting on YouTube one night and your video pops up. It's like, I was like, I said, you need to meet this woman. I'm like, okay, I'm listening. And it was you sharing your divorce story. And I remember writing down, I have got to get this woman on the Redefining Wealth podcast. About a month ago, we're planning for this month in the community, the Redefining Wealth community. And I wanted the theme to be set free. I have a habit, Maisha, of flipping through old journals. I just was flipping through a journal and I will send you, text you a picture of it. It said, you must invite Maisha Cheney on the Redefining Wealth podcast. Wow. I wrote that in September of 2023.
Wow.
You must invite. And that's when I was like, hey, so text you like, can you be on the podcast? Like, this is what we're talking about. So it goes without saying, like, I'm just so excited to have you here because I believe the way that you were free to share your divorce story was affirming for me as someone who had also recently been sharing my own story. And I just saw so much of myself in you. And I wanted to have another voice that just lets people know, not that if you're divorcing, but if you have gone through any type of life transition or pivot or something that some people would say, well, you should be ashamed or you should feel embarrassed or you should feel guilty or all these negative things that people try to associate with whatever our experience is, that we don't have to be chained to that. We can be free to walk powerfully in whatever that story is. So that's why you're here.
I couldn't be more excited about what you're talking about and the fact that I finally got to connect with you. I'm echoing all of those sentiments right now.
Yeah. I want to start with an Instagram post that I saw you make, I guess a few weeks ago, possibly, but you talked about being erased.
Mm-hmm.
It went viral. There was a lot in the comments going on. I was like, oh, Maisha is, oh, she is handling these comments with grace. This is such a beautiful thing. But you were talking about the feeling of being erased and how divorce, you know, can shatter a world and then also remove you from a lot of the, what you feel like the history, all the things you sacrificed. Can you talk about what you meant with that post?
Yeah, I was a pastor's wife for 18 years, and I was with the same person from 18 to 40. And essentially, all my life has been us, my adult life, being in this life. And when I went through a divorce, which was heartbreaking, I had a lot of expectations. Maybe I didn't share those expectations, but I just assumed that there was a way I would be handled both by people, both by my ex-husband, my family. Like, I just assumed I was always there for people when they went through dark times. So people are going to be there for me. And I had never had the opportunity to experience how people would handle me in times because I hid and covered and did all the things to make sure I never needed anybody. And I built a life with a person publicly. And when we got divorced, it felt like in a moment, the entire infrastructure for my life was over. Every single person connected to that life, those relationships were all shifted. They vanished, essentially. Now, the bodies were there. The smiles might have been there. However, there was something that happened that made me feel like you are on your own. Okay. And all of those years of sacrifice, all of that time of we're going to build, we're doing this, we're going this direction, all of these hopes, all of this investment was gone. And it wasn't like, you know how when you sow into something and your name is on a wall somewhere that this person was a pivotal part of this minute. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for this person. When I said erased, I meant that I understood my name would never be mentioned again in a place that I had been a part of my entire adult life. my entire life, period. I was born into that church, and that is where I got the most joy. That's where I learned about God. That's where I gave days and nights and making good choices and left my kids' parties early. I sacrificed. And I just had that moment where I realized all of this for nothing. Now, I know people will tell me, you didn't do it for nothing. You did it for God. And but in that moment, I was just expressing myself and saying, if you want to know what it's like to give your whole life to something and it essentially never be acknowledged, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, it was so raw and it was so real. And I wanted to put on my boxing gloves and fight the people who were saying, but if you did it for God, why are you saying something? The idea that we cannot express our humanity is why people hide. It is why people don't tell the truth. It is why people are not set free to be honest about what they are experiencing, because you have the humanity police that wants everyone to act like a robot and act like they're not experiencing what they're experiencing. I was so frustrated for you.
Yeah. And that's what the pressure that I felt in even doing the YouTube channel was like, I am not going to act like this never happened. Y'all might, but I have a soul. I'm a real human. I have feelings. And it took me 22 years. You're going to give me my time. And I'm going to speak and say what I want to say to the degree that I want to say it, because I'm still not sharing 85% of what's really going on. But nonetheless, I am doing my part in finding my way. And I could say that and be honest because I am moving toward the other side of this thing.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
I recognize that everything happens for a reason. I do know that God is still working things out. I wouldn't be sitting here if I did not get to a certain place of healing about those 22 years in that investment. I get to start over. What a gift. I get to now create a life that is of my choosing.
Isn't that a novel idea, right? As someone who also was in relationship with the same person my whole adult life, 18 years, married for 15 of those years, and did not really know a life or a business or anything outside of the context of us being coupled. And to leave that relationship where his family was my family.
100%.
His aunt and uncle were my aunt and uncle. And like you, I recognized when it was all said and done, we weren't even divorced. We were separated. And it hit me. Our birthdays happen. So two of his siblings and I, our birthdays are days apart, back to back to back. And it was the first time I realized, oh, I'm not their sister anymore. I'm sending happy birthday text messages. No one is responding. No one sends me anything. When for 18 years, we have always all been, right? I'm like, oh, I'm really just not their family anymore. That was a big, no one told me to expect that. I just had an expectation that they would understand that, listen, y'all already know what this is. Y'all already know what has gone down. And I just believed that they would hold space and love both of us through it because that's how my family is. And that was one of the most difficult parts of the entire thing. I was like, oh, they literally just discarded me. Like I had never been there. Like I had never done all of the things for them, with them. I was blown away by that. That's probably been one of the things that hurt the most in this entire experience.
Yeah, we don't realize how our lives are set up around our partners and how everything is interconnected until it's not. And I've had to have that same grieving process that these people that I have spent my life with, it's a wrap. That was crushing. It really was. And we had mutual friends that were no longer mutual friends. And I'm seeing them all ride off into the sunset in this whole life that I was a willing participant in without me, without any acknowledgement of me. And I thought, wow, okay, this is what it is.
So as it moves us towards the idea of dreaming a new dream, that's the episode that I shared with the audience that I was separating. And in Dream a New Dream, it was just talking about the fact that I have gratitude that I get to build a life of my own choosing. I have gratitude for that, even though I grieve the dreams that I just always had, the things that we always talked about. Oh, when we have grandchildren and when we buy this place in this country and when we do this and when we do that, right? And so I definitely had to hold space for both the grief and the gratitude, because I was also very grateful for my decision. I knew that I made the right choice. In my particular instance, what has dreaming a new dream look like for you in this season? What are the things that you have gratitude for as you continue to move past this part of it?
I am mostly grateful that I did not die in an illusion. I'm grateful that I cared enough about me to come back and find me. I'm so grateful that God saw fit that I would know what true authenticity and integrity and being congruent, that I am a person. And for so many years, I felt like there were two of me, the me that I had to be that got the approval and the affirmation, and then the real me that couldn't fully be expressed because that would ruffle feathers, that might cause me to get into, like I felt personally like I had to put 50% of me underneath the rug somewhere. And from time to time, she would come out, but she had to go back to be safe. I'm so thankful that I learned to love myself so that I don't look outward for love and affection from other people. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful to God that I did not continue building on a faulty foundation, that I didn't close these eyes and leave this earth full of secrets, the torture, trying to live and build and do and not enjoy your own life. Now that I'm on this side of things, I look back and I go, I don't understand. I wake up, I'm in my body. I wake up, I'm in full peace, the peace that I went to bed in. I can do what I want, when I want, how I want to. That is a gift. When I feel like I want to be used in this direction, I can go with it. Now, don't get me wrong. It is terrifying because I have never fully been this way before. So dreaming a new dream for me is like, you have all these wonderful things in life that you're grateful for. Now I'm getting to a point where it's time for action. How do I actualize these things that I feel led to do and called to do by myself, with myself, and for myself? When most people, they graduate from high school, then they go off to college and they get to figure out life alone. I didn't have that opportunity. I went from home to marriage to some really big shoes and being a really important person in an organization. Okay. And no matter how confident I am, no matter how much work I do on myself, there's some things that just need practice. And I'm learning how to be patient. And as I'm dreaming a new dream, which is full of everything I had dreamed before, but that I didn't have permission to talk about, that I didn't have permission to really hold space for myself, because I had to say, well, how do we fit in? The we took priority over the me. And I'm learning to reverse that and how to see myself as the center of this reality. I don't have anybody to blame. I can't say, well, it's because you're doing this and I'm looking in the mirror and say, it's you, 10 toes down. And I'm learning how to walk this path. I'm learning how to hear from God and do as Maisha. I'm learning how to live this life as Maisha, how to make my mistakes, how to misspeak, how to lean into the left, how to post a picture in it. It doesn't matter. We're going to figure it out. Because there's some things that I got to practice. I got to get comfortable with it. And for some strange reason, I'm so excited about all of it.
Ooh, I'm so excited for you. Oh my gosh. You might as well just set my whole life just now. Every single part that you said, the duality of it all. And to be honest with you, in those seasons, I really felt authentic. I think that I was as authentic as I could be to the capacity that I had at the time, right? I don't look back and consider myself to be a fraud of some kind. I do realize that I lived a life that was centered around doing what God was calling me to do, but also under the context of trying to protect someone else. My life had been set up to protect my former husband. That just was what it was. And I was applauded for it and made to feel like a very noble wife, right? Because even in church with therapists, with pastors, with people who were giving us support, everything was about hiding. And that's when it became like, but I don't feel good hiding. That's not who I am. I'm a genuinely authentic, vulnerable. I could just meet you. And if I feel led, you're going to get the whole story. That's when people say, how are you on stage saying all these things? Oh, it doesn't bother me at all. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. That's in my DNA. But I realize now, looking back, the tug of war that was going on when I had all these things that I wanted to say and share, and out of respect and understanding, well, this is not just my story. So I can't just go out here. But really, I was covering. I was constantly covering, but being told that the male was to cover. But why am I always covering? Like, I feel like I'm the one covering a multitude of things here.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health, or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Are you ready for Redefining Wealth Live 2024? I hope so, because we already have everything locked in and all we need is you in Atlanta, Georgia. Do not miss this. Right now, we have early bird tickets on sale. You know you want to come, so you might as well lock in that ticket right now. Click the link below or go to redefiningwealthlive.com to secure your seat today. There was a post where you talked about, too, just like things looking perfect from the outside, but something was breaking. What took you to the breaking point when you were like, no, I want to go to sleep with peace and wake up with peace. I want to fully be Myesha. Like, what led up to the breaking point for you? Because I know from the outside to other people, perfect family, beautiful pictures, all the things, TV show at one time, I believe, like all this stuff. What happened?
So essentially, for me to survive, I became a robot. So I was just functional, practical. I was a doer. I worked harder than anybody else. I just buried myself in those things. And I was very busy, super ambitious, super driven. And I did not realize that there was a thing until I went to a graduate program at Biola and got a master's degree in spiritual formation and soul care. And a part of the program, it was highly deconstructive. So it was like, you're nothing, you have nothing. We had to do weekly groups. We had to do therapy in order to graduate. 6 months of weekly talk therapy. And this is a person, I did not have friends. I did not have a small circle. I spoke to no one. I never spoke to anyone alive about my marriage until I got to therapy. And it took 1 year in therapy weekly before I even mentioned one thing. That's how conditioned I was to protect. And I went to therapy. I was in this program. And I think that's where the unraveling, I started to thaw out. Still didn't think anything about the relationship, but I was coming, the lights were coming on in me, that you are a human, you are worthy of time, you deserve to be like, oh, I should be able to sit still and take a vacation. Ah, I'm not a workhorse. Like the basics that other people understood that I never gave myself permission for, I started to get that permission. And then around the pandemic time, I just had compounding losses. My dad went in for a stroke. He had a stroke, went in, came out a month later, had to do brain surgery on his own, was completely altered for the rest of his life. My sister was having back-to-back seizures and was in critical care at the same time. My middle daughter attempted suicide and I was in the hospital with her. It was like my ex-husband had two family members, one 37. My sister-in-law died of brain cancer with four small children. His aunt died in her 60s. It was just thing after thing. We had gone through this huge building campaign and had to raise all these millions of dollars in a short amount of time. I was leading that effort. I ran out. I finally got to my end and I had no other place to go. And when I got to the end, there was no support for me. It was like I got to the edge of the cliff and I just had to fall off. And when I fell off, it was like, this is not life. This is not living. And I started to draw some lines in the sand. I created boundaries for the first time in my life. Okay. I've never had boundaries. You could come in and out whenever you want. Whatever you do, it's okay. God is here. And I started to say, no, I am not doing this. Shaking in my boots, trembling, afraid. I'm going to lose love. I'm going to lose affirmation, but saying, I can't do this. I'm going to die. That's honestly what I felt was, if I don't make a change in my life, I'm going to die. Period. Emotionally, spiritually, mentally, because now I know. When I was numb, I didn't know. But now I know and I can't continue. And I started to, okay, we have to go to therapy. We have to do these things. I've been through a lot. And at this point, I have been in therapy for 5 years. Remember I told you that I went, it was a requirement for 6 months?
6 months, yes.
That ended up being 5 years. My therapist walked me. My last day of therapy was when my divorce was final. He walked me from being completely disconnected from myself to, okay, now you get to go live life. So once I started to create these boundaries, I started to want to renegotiate what this relationship looks like. My partner was the head of my house, my boss, because I had left my career to work full time for him in the church. He was my boss. He was my pastor. He was all of these things, and the pie was not big enough. We only get a small pie in this life, and you controlling too much of it just in pure function alone. I'm having to run, and yet I'm doing all this work and saying, well, get approvals and all these. It was too much. So I said, well, let's let pieces of this go. Let me go back to doing something else. Let's create space to just be husband and wife, and let's work through some of these things that I now know need work. And in a short amount of time, I think that was in January. By April, he moved out. By May, we filed. By December, I was fully divorced. That's how quick. And it happened all in 1 year. And I wish I could say that I had been thinking about this. It never entered my mind until it entered my mind. And I was crying and I said, I don't think my marriage is going to make it. I did not know what it was going to do for me. I was not seeing the future. I wasn't dreaming a new dream. I was just surviving and saying, I know you, God is not going to allow this to kill me. And I had no idea what was going to follow. Us sitting down and negotiating, well, who's going to file? Okay, we're going to go our separate way. And after that moment, it was a wrap. It was also the absolute best decision I have ever made in my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. It was that quick for us. We separated in November. I filed in March and it was final in August. And for all the things, like you guys, I'm sure, all the assets, the businesses, the this, the that, people said, oh, it'll drag out for years. It did not.
Nope.
I said, God, if we're going to do this, I need you to be swift. Let's just do it. But like you, it wasn't the years of talk therapy, although I was also in therapy all that time. This podcast was very therapeutic for me. It was the podcast because I would only invite people on if they had a book, I would read the books. I wasn't a person who's like, oh, give me Cliff Notes and I'll just wing it. So I'm taking in all of these books and all of these conversations. And every month, it's like scales were falling from my eyes. And like you said, it was like, no, I'm not asking too much. No, you know, it was just like the awakening. So now I say, before we can redefine wealth, you have to have an awakening. You have to get off autopilot. You have to arise from slumber. And so many of us have been trained to be asleep at the wheels of our lives by people who benefit from us being asleep. You benefit from me being on autopilot. That's why you like this, right? Mm-hmm. But when I start waking up like, no, that doesn't work for me. This doesn't serve me. And I understand why it's so scary for people to think about going to therapy or to come into working with people like us and have these epiphanies and these awakenings because they're afraid of what's on the other side. But I'm glad you ended that whole piece that you shared with. And it was also the best decision I could have made. Because when I tell you, baby, I have absolutely not one single solitary regret.
None.
When you said I go to sleep in peace and wake up in peace, I can open my phone in peace because I'm not afraid of who may text or show up in my DMs. I can move about the cabin freely because I know that I personally move with integrity. When I tell you, it is the most beautiful thing I have experienced. And yes, was it hard? Did I want this for my child? Is this what I envisioned? Is this what I dreamed about when I was at the altar and said I do? Absolutely not. But I thank God, like you said, I said to myself, God, I cannot be in this another 18 years. Would I want the next 18 years to look like these last 18 years? I said, no, I don't want to wake up at 58, at 68, at 78 and say, what did you do with your life? And yes, publicly successful, an achiever, ambitious, lauded for all these things, wonderful. But personally, if I feel like I am not being the full version of who God created Patrice Cunningham, not Washington Cunningham to be when I was first formed in my mother's womb, then what was it all for? And if I have to dismiss and diminish everything that God put in me to really walk fully in this, to be your wife, I'll be single. I'll be alone. But I'm not going to die like this.
And people don't always understand that. Like, I knew if I walk away from this situation, there is a chance that I could spend the rest of my life alone. And I was willing to. I was willing. I said, okay, 10 toes down. I would rather be alone and with myself in peace and authenticity and doing meaningful work than to have an illusion of something that doesn't give me that same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I happen to be one of those people that are motivated to work out on my own, but I personally don't get the best Fit Pillar results I can when I don't use a professional trainer because everything that's permissible is not necessarily beneficial. But having a full life can make it so hard to get on the same schedule as a personal trainer. But when I discovered Future in January 2023, the game changed. It has helped me stay committed to my Fit Pillar goals on the go. It's a personal training app made to fit your life. You get a dedicated coach, personalized training plans, and access to unlimited workouts. And trust me, you will enjoy them. I would love for you to check out Future today if you know that you can do okay with your Fit Pillar by yourself, but you want that additional support and you really want to get serious about your Fit Pillar. Go to patricewashington.com/future and get 50% off your first month today. That's 50% off your first month when you use my link, patricewashington.com/future. For me, this has been the greatest journey of self-love I could have ever imagined. I didn't know it would come because of such a situation, but I'm grateful that it has. Would you say the same for yourself? Like, what have you found about yourself in this process?
I have found, first, I didn't even really know what self-love was. I used to get my nails done and be like, okay, I'm loving myself. Wow. This situation introduced me to what self-love is. And I find that I'm a really cool person. I find that I'm sensitive and caring and compassionate. I'm generous. There's just a way that I live my life that it's not because it's a sin or because I'm going to prove something to God or because I love his people. Just in a room, in a life, disconnected from all of those things, I learned, wow, you are a kind soul. Like, you were put here on earth for a reason. Get rid of all the extra junk. This journey was more about me unpacking all of the stuff I picked up to be who I have always been. I don't think I really became something new. I'm more a reflection now of what I remember being as a child, 17, 16. Like, there's parts of me that I feel are here now that over the years, they just got buried. And self-love has been one of those journeys to help me reconcile who I've always been, who I'm becoming, and the depth of the person that I really, truly am. Not based on conditions, where the affirmation's coming from, the next accomplishment. I literally can sit and do nothing and be okay. And that is a miracle. I would be organizing the drawers on vacation.
Same.
I'm on the plane going through my laptop, okay, and getting my files together. And it's like, you're on vacation. I just had this compulsive tendency. That's how I felt safe. The more I can control. But then I got introduced to like life and life more abundantly. I'm living the abundant life now. The abundant life I've been teaching for 18, 20 years of my life. The Bible verses came to life now. That is my biggest question that I'm moving forward with, is reconciling that piece. That God, all these things that you have been telling me and teaching me, the things I have been teaching others, I was not fully walking into. Or maybe I was to the degree that I could. Now I'm like, God loves me. I love me. What more can a person ask for?
Girl, isn't that it?
I got a pulse.
Yes. This is the freest I have ever felt in my life. I do not feel the need to perform for anyone at any time for any reason. Like, whatever you experience of me, that's what it is. Like, that's just what it is. There's no like, oh, I put this face on to now come into. No, that's just what it is. And I did not realize it wasn't that for me every day. But looking back, it's always in the looking back, right? I can remember the times when I was doing all the things to be the best wife. Organizing all the things on vacation, like getting everybody's stuff in drawers. If we would be somewhere for 2 days, we would fully unpack and have everything neatly in the drawers. And then I have to pack it all back, like just doing all of this stuff. Well, I'm missing the fun time. I'm missing pool time. I'm missing being out and doing the things. And unlike you, I did not feel like a lot of the things that I'm experiencing more recently, I even had in childhood. And that's what taught me that what I experienced. And like you said, I willfully was participating in that relationship all this time. I didn't know I have a concept of radical honesty. So I wasn't being brutally honest with myself. I allowed myself to romanticize situations. I allowed myself to over-spiritualize things. I allowed behavior to become normalized because I had also seen that type of behavior, right, in my family and other relationships that I had proximity to. It just felt like, oh, well, this is what it is. Like, this is how it goes, right? But when I think about it, my former relationship was just an extension of relationships I had had all throughout childhood. So it was very easy to settle into that relationship because I was used to not using my voice. I had become accustomed, right, to going along to get along. I had been told, oh, you talk too much, all while growing up. So at the very moments when I should have been speaking up in my marriage, the flashbacks of being a kid who talked too much and needing to just go along would just appear, right? So the freedom that I'm experiencing now feels relatively new. And I do feel now, though, like a kid, like a little kid that's like, woohoo, like I'm going to do all the things. I'm going to say all the things. I'm going to have such a good time. I am having a blast, even though there are moments that have scared me. But I would rather sit in the discomfort of those moments because it's the unexpected, right? That comes up where you're like, or the uncertainty of like, well, I don't really know all these things I had to learn as an adult woman that I had never been responsible for because I've been in relationship this whole time. Even basic things like registering my car or getting an emissions check. It might sound silly, but I never put air in my tire. I didn't have to put gas in the car. I didn't, like, there's just so many things that I wasn't even, things just happen when it came to certain things. I never paid attention. It wasn't my role. So even in the uncertainty of buying my first car by myself at 40, or now buying property again by myself, or doing all these things alone, I'd rather take that than knowing that something is just not for me. I'd rather go with the unknown than knowing that I'm not in the right place for me.
Oh, yeah. And you brought up something so amazing. A critical part of my healing was when I confronted my dad and mom. And I said, Mom, I saw you and I modeled that. And Dad, I cannot set boundaries for one person in my life and think it carries over. I had to see my dad and his contribution for what it was and verbalize that. One of the scariest things I have ever done is have a round table and say, we got to talk. And the moment that I spoke to my dad and said, Dad, you model for me what was acceptable in a man. And I no longer accept that from you or anybody else. That is when I was able to move on.
Maisha, that's so good. Do you know a part of why I feel I was finally free to move on is because my siblings and I had started monthly calls with my dad, and none of us grew up in the home with him. So we just wanted to, he was leading up to 80. There's multiple mothers involved and all this stuff. And we all felt like we didn't really know him. So we wanted to start these monthly calls. So we're doing the monthly calls, which are going great. We're learning all kinds of things. Like, you did what? Right? Because he had us after 40. So he had a whole life before many of us were born. And so we're learning all of these things about our dad. I'm seeing him in a new light. I'm developing more compassion for him because I have more understanding about how he actually grew up now. All of these things are happening. And as the relationship with my dad started to heal, it was filling a void that I think I tried to fill with my former husband. And so as that void started to fill and I could now just have conversations with my dad without feeling like I had to perform or present him with some new accomplishment in order to talk to him or, you know, Dad, I'm on this thing or I'm doing that thing. When I didn't need him for that anymore and he could just be my dad, more and more of my husband, my ex-husband's behavior became intolerable. Like, I just could not sit with it anymore. And in my talk therapy, what I discovered was I had looked for male love, affection, adoration in relationships with other people because I did not grow up with that from my father. But now healing a lot of that with my father, I recognize how fraudulent what I thought was love actually was. Like, love shouldn't treat me like this, or I shouldn't feel like this, or I shouldn't have to go through all of these things. And I got to a place where I was like, I do not accept, tolerate, or glorify struggle love. I grew up listening to music that glorified struggle love, watching movies that glorified struggle love, and watching people around me tolerate and accept struggle love. So it was normalized. But then I got to a place where I'm like, I love myself. I don't want struggle love. I want love or no love at all. But struggle love is not my portion. All right. I know it was just getting good. I know. But in a survey that we did, you guys told me you like the episodes to not be so long. So Maisha and I decided to break this into two parts. So I know this time we got through the divorce piece and all of that. And in next week's episode, we'll be back with more on her dating experience. And I got to share with her some of the good nuggets. Really, what you'll be tuning into next week is just a conversation of what sounds like two good girlfriends that are just supporting each other and moving through. And I believe that being radically honest and being able to have these conversations is a part of how we get set free. So make sure you rate, review, share your takeaways in the comments. Definitely connect with Maisha. All of her information is in the show notes. And I will circle back next week with part two of my conversation with Maisha Cheney.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.